Truth Revolution.
Hey, everybody on YouTube, podcast, radio, public access TV, wherever you're listening or watching this show, so glad you're joining us today. You may have noticed that Dave is much more attractive than usual.
I cut my ponytail off.
Today, you can probably hear my voice that I was a sick and I'm getting better. But you can also know that Dave, he was wiped out, man. This guy, he was down for the count.
Yeah, my wife actually randomly called him and he was in the ER. He's like, hello. She's like, what's wrong? And he still answered the call, still helped her out, even when he was in the ER.
He's hardcore, man.
Yeah.
But he's not doing the radio show this week. So I brought in a ringer, Tyler Lund, one of the ministry leaders here at our church. Now, didn't bring him in for just any reason, not just because I like him, although I do like you, but that's not the real reason I brought you here. Today we're talking. Today is when this show airs on Sunday. It is Orphan Sunday, so this is the day that we celebrate worldwide orphans and bringing them into homes, bringing them into families, giving them a place to live and a family to care for them. And so we're talking about foster care and adoption today. You know, foster care is funny and people have wrong ideas. That's kind of the thesis of today.
Amen.
And the reason Tyler is here is because he is a fellow foster parent. I'm a foster parent. I've adopted a bunch, done foster care for a bunch. You've also done foster care. How long have you been doing foster care now?
2.5 years.
Yeah. Very cool. Do you know any idea how many foster kids you've had?
You know,
a lot of people don't keep track.
I'd say it's over 50 at this point. Yeah. But some are long term, some are short term. Yeah. Some are just for the weekend, and some have been over a year and a half. So
you're right up there where Meadow and I are, because we've had 50 or 60 as well. So
yeah, we pray for them at night, the names, and that list has gotten longer. Oof. And so it puts my daughter to sleep. So instead of bedtime stories, she hears names.
So you actually have a list and you pray over the names.
Well, it's in my head, and I guess I can't do that on air because they're names, right? But yeah,
that's cool. See, I have a list of all the names. I actually have a Word document, but I don't go over it every night and pray. And I only really pray for them when I think about them or remember something that happened. But yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, today we're talking foster care is funny and people have wrong ideas. Just a couple weird things about new foster care. Let's just right out the gate. I think one of the weirdest things is when you've got a kid who's a different race than you and you go out in public and people like my wife and I, we're both white and one of our foster kids is black. And so I love this. I mean, I love him to death, but the situation's so funny because we go out there and my wife and I will be holding this little boy and some people look at us and kind of smile and then they'll kind of nod their head sideways like, what is something happened there? You can see the gears turning.
Yeah. We're in our SUV minivan thing. And it's not just the race. It's the quantity too that like pile out. It's like a clown car, right?
Yes.
Like they're just like, they're confused because how many people are in there and the age range and the racial makeup is very confusing to people.
Oh man.
It provides a lot of laughter.
I always laugh when we go somewhere and I walk into a store and those people in the store are like, whoa, big group today. Someone having a birthday party? And I'm like, probably.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's check the birth certificates. Yeah, we appointments are funny. Even people that can check the records, they'll... Like I've gone in with my foster daughter before who has a child of her own and we'll go to the doctor and the nurses will be checking us in and they'll say, you know, to the foster mom, you must be the mother. And she'll look at me and, you know, there's a big age difference between me and my foster daughter. And we got this little baby there and they're just trying to put it together. Like she's of a different ethnicity and very different age. And just doesn't fit together.
And they're looking at the baby and looking at her and then they're looking at you and they're going, is this the equation?
And I guess, no. Foster father, not husband to the 15-year-old.
Oh man. You get all sorts of crazy reactions. Actually, I think a lot of times when people make it exceptionally awkward. And I don't get offended. I just don't get offended about stuff. But when people ask for the backstory in public, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but like people come up like, wow, are these all your kids? And I'm like, yeah, they're all my kids. Like, well, are you Catholic? And then people ask us that. And like, no, we're not Catholics. I actually, you know, we do foster care. And they're like, oh, well, so who's a foster kid? And sometimes it gets really awkward, you know, like they want to know the backstory behind everything.
Yeah. Whether that's one situation that happens or we've had friends and not to pick on some of them, but they'll have known them for a year or two and they'll ask us, so do you have any biological kids. You know, like we've got six kids in our home and they don't know which ones are which. Uh-huh. And so it can be confusing even to close friends.
Yeah, though that's true. I mean, even my friends who do foster care, sometimes I'll forget. I'm like, wait, which ones are which in there? And they, I mean, ultimately it doesn't even really matter.
Right.
You know, I just, they're all my kids. When they're in my house, they're in my house, they're my kids. We call ourselves Team Peepo, just to make sure that someone doesn't feel like, well, I don't have your last name and I'm not in your family. We're like, well, this is our team, right? My last name's Peepo. You're on the team as long as you're living with us, you know?
That's a good point. That's a real good point.
But we do want to go over today, 10 things, if we get through them all, that right or wrong ideas about foster care. I mean, not only is it funny, but people think about this the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And number one thing a lot of people misunderstand is that these kids in foster care are there because they're juvenile delinquents. And that's not the normal reason that a kid is in foster care. From your experience, what do you think? What's the normal reasons?
Well, I'd say just the juvenile delinquents. I think we've only had one out of 50-some.
Yeah.
So that's not the typical reason. Typically, it's because their parents are just in a bad place, and we try to explain this to our kids about why they're there. And it's usually because they're making wrong decisions about, you know, alcohol and drugs and just not a safe living environment. So that's what we can provide them.
That's right. The second thing, a lot of times I say kids in foster care are so emotionally damaged that there's nothing that can be done to fix them. Right? This is absolutely not true. This is just not true. Can I go on a rant for a second?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
So I got my handy dandy brain here, right? This is the prefrontal cortex, right? Down here is the limbic system. A lot of times when kids come in from foster care, they've been wounded. They've been hurt. That's why they're in foster care, and they're functioning out of the limbic system. Okay. This is where they make rash decisions. They hit or they yell or they fight. And the prefrontal cortex is the part of your brain where you can say, you know what? I want to punch someone right now, but I'm not going to punch them because I don't want to go to jail. And so you actually make good decisions because this part of your brain's working. And what happens is when they come into your home, they're going to be functioning down here because they're scared. But over time, as you provide them a safe and healthy place, they're going to use their prefrontal cortex more and more. They can absolutely be healed. They can absolutely change their behavior in really positive ways.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a lot of infants and newborns, and a lot of people say, well, isn't it going to be so hard that, you know, that if they get adopted by someone else or they go back to another home, you know, the attachment issues.
Yeah.
And what's important to know is that a child needs attachment. You know, if they're in an orphanage or some institution and they don't have a single or two people that are investing in them, feeding them, changing them, putting clothes on them, it is very damaging for them. So they need to get an attachment. And the concern we hear is that, oh, well, they'll be emotionally damaged if they're taken away from that. But children are flexible and they can reattach to another figure, maybe the permanent adoptive home or the parent if they get out of jail, if they get clean. They can reattach and have a healthy brain, and so they won't be emotion damaged. So they should be healthier because they were in your home.
Absolutely. Now, it's true that the more often those attachments are broken and reattached, the more difficult it becomes. But what's most important is developing a healthy attachment. Mm-hmm. And so that when they move to another location, they're able to develop a healthy attachment again. With children who grew up with the wrong type of attachment, it'll affect them for the rest of their life. That is absolutely true. But you can be healed. You know, we have three kids who we adopted who had PTSD. And a lot of people think you can't be healed from PTSD. Took him to the therapist. We've been going there for years, and we've been working very intensely at home for years with these kids. They're amazing kids. I love them so much. We've adopted them now. And the therapist actually said this year, she goes, you guys should be very happy because we redid their intake, all went through this whole survey. And she says, these kids no longer have any symptoms of PTSD. Amen. And so, I mean, people can be healed. God heals people, but also he uses healthy homes to do that. He can use people who care to heal people. So it's not true that nothing can be done to fix them. All right. Number three, you have to be married to be foster parent.
Well, you're more of an expert on this, your role in helping foster parents through the foster care organization. So maybe you can answer better on this. I don't know. Do you have to be a parent?
You don't. It's not true. You can be single. There are a few requirements. You have to make a certain amount of money, but it's not like you have to be rich. Basically, you have to have a steady job is all this is saying, right? You have to have some money so that you can provide for yourself. So if you're looking to get into this to make money, no, it's not going to work. That doesn't happen. By the way, if you want to get into this to make money, instead of being a foster parent, do daycare. You actually make more money doing daycare than you do foster care, a lot more. You can bring in more kids temporarily, and then you can send them home at night, and you don't have to have them 24 hours a day. You don't have to deal with their school as much.
Can I do that with my kids?
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. Mm. Wait, you'd have to pay yourself though. So I don't know how that would work. But
send them home.
Okay, number four. This is another myth. You have no control over what comes into your home.
That is not true. That's a very nice thing that even when you set out, you can tell the social workers which age ranges, what types of behaviors you're set up to take. Mm-hmm. And you can, even if it's within all the requirements of what you want, you still have this, the ability to say, it's not a good time in our season of life. We can't take this child.
That's exactly right. Our old home, the hallway was really small. And so we said, you know what? We can't take kids with wheelchairs. My wife got grossed out by feeding tubes. So she said, if someone has a medical issue that requires a feeding tube, we're just not going to do it. Then there's been other times we've just been busy. They've called and said, hey, we got this kid. They need help. Can you take them? And we're like, no, we're busy right now. We're not going to do it. So you can sign up to be a foster parent. And absolutely, like Tyler said, you can say no.
Which is why we need more people doing foster care, because there are times when foster families need to say no. And so we need to have more people. I dream of the day when the social workers don't have to, you know, scrimp and scram to find a foster home, but they get to make a pick, that there's a waiting list of people who want to be foster parents. And we get to choose the best homes, the most healthy places to put them. It's not the case right now.
Yeah, no, that's not the case. We are in need in Salina, Kansas, of some more foster homes. I actually got a call this a couple months ago. They said, hey, we got two more kids. Will you take these two kids? And I was like, look, we got seven kids right now. I'm not taking any more. I'm like, okay. A few hours went by. I went to bed. Phone rings at like 11 o'clock. It's them again to say, hey, we couldn't find anyone to take these kids. Can they please come to your house just for a couple nights? They can sleep on your floor. And I'm like half asleep. And I'm like, what? And they said, no one would take them. And right now they're sleeping on the police station floor. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. Yeah, we'll come get them. I hung up a phone. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Why did I say yes to this?
You should just leave a key under your doormat and just have the police officers let them in.
That's right. Them, you know. Like Amazon.com foster care edition. Where
then you wouldn't have to wake up.
You show up at home and there's some foster kids there waiting for you.
No, you do have the ability to say no.
Absolutely.
Keep your family sane.
Apparently, I don't have the ability to say no, but you have the right to say no. Exactly. And some people are thinking, I can't say no. That's the problem with me. And look, when you get licensed, you can tell them, I only want to take one kid. License me for one kid. And then they're not even allowed to ask you to take more. So that's possible too. Here's number six. Here's a myth. You don't have any rights as a foster parent. Now that's not true. Actually, I printed this out. I helped actually get this done a few years ago with DCF. This is the Foster Parents Bill of Rights. Okay. DCF put this into their own planning. The organization I was with, Kansas Foster Parent Association, started pushing there to be a law about this. And we had some discussions with DCF. And shortly after some of those discussions and shortly after it becoming a potential bill, DCF went in and put this out there. You've got rights here. You have the right to exercise decision-making in connection with the child consistent with the limits and policies of DCF. You have the right to receive training. You have the right to receive financial reimbursement. You have the right to receive services to reach DCF personnel. I mean, and even more stuff in here that I think is really, really valuable. You have the right to receive from DCF information known to DCF and relevant to the care of the child. Okay. In other words, they have to tell you everything they know about the kid that's relevant. They have to.
This is good.
So you can't just get some kid in your home and they've hidden all this information from you and they didn't tell you that. I mean, sometimes you get a kid where they don't know stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's good. This is great that Jeff and the community have worked on this. And one of the things I'd recommend is as you pursue foster care is to get into a community of other people who are doing this that can serve you and give you tips like this to pursue that and ask that of the social workers.
Absolutely. Hey, we're about halfway done with the show. We got some more of this coming. So if you want more information about being a foster parent, or maybe if you want to decide really you don't really want to be one, we're going to have more reasons why on the other side here. In the meantime, you should come out to Revolution Church. We have services 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30 on Sundays. But as always, you got to check our website because we change our service times periodically just to mess with people. So this is a normal thing, right?
Right. Time change too.
Tyler runs the Hebrews Coffee Bar. come on in, get a free drink at coffee bar.
You may want to ask somebody else to make it, but I'll take the money. So.
You know, they were joking about that free. The other day. Someone was like, we love Tyler. He can't make coffee, but we love him.
I drink it really well, though.
Hey, we'll be right back. Revo.church is our website, REVO.church, or truthrevolution.tv. We'll be right back.
Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Revolution Church.
Have you ever thought, gee, I'd like to go to church, and I really wish someone would make me get out of bed early?
Not me. I like my sleep.
Just go with it. We're making an ad.
Okay. Yes, I have always wished someone would wake me up earlier.
Okay, I got lots of kids, so I'm already awake. New service time at Revolution Church, 8:30 a.m.
Cool, and for those of us who prefer beauty sleep, Revolution also has 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
Check out www.revo.church.
That's REVO.church.
Revo.church.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
Parenting is difficult. Growing up is difficult. Growing up in foster care is beyond difficult. And you may believe that becoming a foster parent is beyond difficult too. Well, it's not easy. But when we decide to do what God wants us to do, we're not doing it because we want easy. We're doing it because it's right and it's good. And I've been a foster parent for years. I've had dozens and dozens of kids. Becoming a foster parent may be one of the hardest things you'll ever do. And I still think you should be a foster parent because God has told us it is good.
God cares more about the inside of a person than the outside.
So Revolution Church, we agree. Want to show up wearing old sweatpants and an eye patch? You're good.
What if they don't need an eye patch?
Literally doesn't matter.
We're more concerned about what God wants for you.
We do teaching from the Bible. It's in-depth, super practical, meaning
there's not even time to waste on what someone is wearing.
Seriously, come on out. Maybe you'll find someone to swap an eye patch with.
www.revo.church.
That's REVO.church. We talk a lot about helping foster kids, but have you ever considered helping the families the kids come from? Often the biological parents of foster kids suffer immensely. People aren't likely to help them, and they get judged. But what if Christians step in and said, I'm going to help. I will be their support system. By helping the parents, we also help the children. Every case is different. They could use financial advice, a cheerleader, a mentor, or a friend who helps them stay accountable. Perhaps God is calling you to help the parents.
Truth Revolution.
We are back from our epic break. We took a nap, ate some food. We're waking up now. We're ready to join you again. Finishing talking about foster care today. We've learned that you have rights as a foster parent. We've learned that you have control over who comes into your home. We learned you don't have to be married. You can be single. That kids aren't too emotionally damaged. They can be helped and fixed. And kids aren't always juvenile delinquents. I actually accidentally skipped one. But this is a huge one for a lot of people. Number five was foster parents get too attached to kids. This is a reason people tell me all the time, I'm not going to do foster care because I'll get too attached. I don't think that's a good reason not to do foster care.
I don't think it is either. I mean, it's something that I was concerned about, especially when we were placed with the most beautiful boy in the world. I have three daughters, love them to death. But when they gave us a two-day-old little boy who has a name similar to mine, I was like, oh, this is great. And did I get attached? I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, my wife, I got to feed him every night. I was the one who fed him. So I got attached. He got attached. Amazing experience. A year and a half into this, the social workers asked us, would you like to adopt this boy? You know, wow. Things aren't working out. We're like, oh, my, yeah, we'd love to be a resource. And about a week after that, they came and said, hey, you know what? The father got out of jail and we need to give him a chance to get his son back. And he started doing the things to get his son back. And you know, was there a little bit of pain and concern and worry on our part? Yeah, there was. And we were attached. But you know, as time went on and when we invested in the dad and we saw growth, that day when we handed his son back, it was, there was actually, it's kind of poetic. They took a photo of us and the father and the son were in the front of the picture and our family was back in the background, and the way the camera focused, he was in focus with his dad and yes. we were in the back and we were all blurred out. You couldn't even see us. And I think because God gave us grace that we knew the focus was not on us. If the focus was on us, if we were at the front of the picture, it would, you know, we'd be crying, we'd be hurting, but the focus was on the child, the father, and you know, the growth and the healing that happened there. And so I didn't lose a son that day. I gained a brother in Christ.
Man, that is so good. That is just
God works.
That is poetic. That is beautiful. You know, I remember when we lost three kids that we were told we were going to be able to adopt. We lost them. The biological parent made a false accusation against me. They took the kids away. It was heartbreaking. It was heart-wrenching. And we sent a letter a few months later to friends of ours who've been praying for us for that situation, because we were going to continue to do foster care. And a lot of people assumed that we were going to stop, that we were going to be done with foster care. And so we just sent out this letter. In there, we thanked them for praying for us, for caring for us. And we told them in this letter, I said, we made a decision over 3 years ago to become foster parents. This wasn't for personal gain or because we knew about the three wonderful children whom we would grow to love more than life itself. We chose to become foster parents because caring for orphans is good. It is pleasing to God and produces eternal results. The reason still remains. There are still children who need love. Therefore, we wanted to let you know that we will plan on continuing foster care. We know that you care about us and will care for any children who come into our home. So we feel that you should know about our decision. It's true that we were attacked when doing good. Something terrible occurred, and even something worse could have happened. It could have happened. But should that stop us from doing good? It shouldn't surprise us that evil would try to stop good. In fact, quote, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, 2 Timothy 3. The answer to suffering when bad things happen is not to lie down and wish it would go away. The answer to suffering is to deal with it in a healthy way and persevere in good works. Quote, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, Romans 12. So please do not misunderstand. We love the three children who are with us. I imagine we will pray for them and think of them until God takes us from this life. If there's opportunity through the foster system or otherwise, we would welcome them back, but we will continue to do foster care because of the inherent goodness of caring for children in need and their families. And just that's the mentality we approached it with. And though it was heartbreaking, we've said it's still worth it. Even though it's heartbreaking, it's still worth it. And by the way, happy ending. A couple years later, the biological family brought those three kids to us and said, we're unable to give them the care they need. Will you take them? And we've adopted them now. They're part of our family. Just beautiful stuff. But hey, we're going to pause there and do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Bible contradiction today comes from Psalm 58. This says that revenge is celebrated. Tyler, would you read Psalm 58 right there?
Yeah, the righteous will be glad when they are avenged. When they bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked, then men will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth.
Okay, so their revenge is celebrated, but Proverbs 24 puts it this way.
Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him.
Okay, so here it says God doesn't want you to rejoice and have revenge. Which one is it? This seems like a contradiction. Reality is, we're going to use our cracked acronym, of course, and the A stands for author's intention. What was the author intending on communicating? Is he intending on saying revenge is great in Psalm 58? What's going on here? Well, in Psalm 58, the author's communicating about about the end of the world when God judges all things. At that point, when God judges the whole world, he's saying that righteous people will have been proven right. They will be saved. God will reveal that they were on the right path all along. They will be vindicated, and the evil people will be punished, and all will be set right. Okay, it's not about I took revenge on someone or someone stubbed their toe and now I'm laughing. It's about everything has been set right. God has punished the wicked and rewarded the good. Take joy in the fact that God has finally brought this about. Proverbs 24, the author is talking about a totally different scenario. He's simply saying, don't be happy right now when your enemy loses. Because then God's going to have compassion on them. And this isn't about like letting God be, this isn't about you becoming their judge. This is about letting God be the judge instead of you being a judge and taking joy when they suffer. And so the other verse is simply celebrating final vindication. These are two totally different scenarios. One is final vindication when God completes his wrath and completes rewarding you. And the second verse is about saying, hey, right now, while the world's going on, don't take personal vindication and take joy in their suffering. These are two totally different scenarios. Anything you want to add?
No, that makes sense. You said it.
That's the answer for Bible Contradiction today.
Bible Contradiction.
All right, there we have it. All right, we're going to get back into this. A few more myths that we have to cover real fast. It's expensive.
No. Well, I mean, there are some expenses that come with it, but there are, in our experience, you know, people come around you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get a new kid and you don't have clothes for that, typically if you're in community, people are going to come alongside you. I mean, Lydia and I have been very blessed by friends here in our community who have, you know, showed up in real tangible ways. We have friends back in Washington, D.C. who have been financially and just encouragement to us. So I would say that, you know, there's a lot of resources that DCF and St. Francis, whoever your licensing agency will provide for you. But I wouldn't say that it's a financial burden that should keep you from doing this.
Yeah, I would agree. We have at our church people who do this. We've worked with some people from other churches. My wife has a ministry where, yeah, you need clothes. Just say, I need clothes, and people are going to show up with clothes for your kids. You don't misunderstand us. No one's going to get rich doing this. In fact, it will cost you some money, but I wouldn't say, quote, it's expensive. You're not going to go bankrupt becoming a foster parent as long as you surround yourself with the right kind of people.
I mean, when we sign up our kids for gymnastics or something, you know, it costs money. But there's joy with that. But there's so much more joy when I am able to sign up one of our foster children for a class that they otherwise wouldn't be in. I mean, when you see somebody who would otherwise be sitting at home and maybe not engaged in the community, but actually playing or wearing new clothes or, you know, something that fits them, it's just, it gives you more joy than you can imagine.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. I mean, I actually had, you know, a guy say, hey, your foster kid, I'll teach him Taekwondo for free. Wow. Like just things like that just happen. God just provides. Mm-hmm. Number 9, after adoption, the biological family can get the kid back. Okay, this is not true. If you adopt a kid from the foster care system and the parents' rights have been, that means the parents' rights have been severed. Once the parents' rights are severed, I know of no circumstance in Kansas where it has ever been reversed. Now, it might be reversed on an appeal, but you can't really adopt the kid until the appeals are over. And so once you adopt, this is final. That's it. No one can get the kid, quote, back. And then number 10, the system is broken. This is kind of a pet peeve of mine. People all the time complain about the foster care system. The system is broken. The system is messy. Well, you know what? It starts because you're dealing with messy and broken people.
Right.
If you expect anything other than a messy, somewhat broken system, you're living in a fantasy world.
Well, yeah, the system is broken, but I think the actual act of foster care, bringing children into your home, yeah, the structures and principalities, there's stuff that's broken, but when they're in your home, it's not like it's all of a sudden going to be clean and not broken, but I think one of the beautiful things is they get to see your family in its brokenness, yeah, but also overcoming that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of beauty in that. So the system being broken is not a reason to stay away.
And it's just, I mean, there's going to be messes in the system. I mean, the DMV system's broken. You still have a car. You don't throw your hands up and go, well, I'm not buying a vehicle now.
Right.
So, you know, you just recognize, hey, systems sometimes stink, but I'm going to make it through this because it's important.
Right.
It's important to have a car. It's important to help these children.
And there we have a Kansas Foster Parents Bill of Rights because people got involved and started to try to fix the system and get some rights for foster parents.
That's right.
So avoiding the system doesn't improve it at all.
All right. 7 things you can do even if you don't want to be a foster parent. Okay. Maybe one of them is that, but 7 things you can do. Okay. If you feel called to help with foster kids or adoption, you can start, number 1, by praying for people, praying for the kids. AdoptKSKids.org. You can speak up for them. You can join CASA, C-A-S-A. You can go into court and talk for them. You can provide financially. You can give to a church, or part of the causes go to orphans, or you can give to a foster family or adoptive family. Give them gift cards. People give us gift cards to restaurants sometimes. It's like a blessing from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Number four, you can support those who help orphans. So if you know a foster family, go mow their lawn. Offer to babysit for free. Organize some meals for them, whatever it is. Become a foster parent. Adopt a kid, that's one. Number six is mentor them. You know, form a relationship with a foster or adopted child. They need people who love Jesus in their life. And the seventh thing is support and care for birth parents who are placing their child with an adoptive family or maybe lost or gets to foster care. Those people need help and love too. They're actual human beings, and we should love them. All right, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Have a great week. Truth Revolution and Revolution Church.